All right, so we are holding on Chof Dalet on the days, eight lines from the end of the narrow lines on the Kinsa Sofik. We said in the Mishnah, Im Mishin Nishchat Noida Chola. We had in the Mishnah, we talked about, we had Oshem Toleri versus Oshem Vadai, where what happens if he found out the facts before the korban was shechted? What happens if you find out after the korban was shechted? Yeah. So we said with an Oshem Toleri, if he finds out before it was shechted, no problem. Rav Meir says no problem. You let it go graze like any other animal. It's perfectly cholin. The Chum say you have to leave it to develop till it develops some more, and the value of it goes to Nedava. And then Rabbi Yehuda said you can bring another korban because there's always something that a person could be bringing an Oshem Toleri for. Then we said that if with an Oshem Toleri, if he found out only after the korban was shechted that he had done the Avera, or for that matter, he finds out that he hadn't done the Avera, as the case may be, then we said the Tanakama had said that you have to spill out the blood and burn the meat. Actually, everybody agreed to that. Okay. So that was all with an Oshem Toleri. Then we said with an Oshem Vadai that if after they shechted it, he finds out he didn't actually do whatever it is that made him liable to the Oshem, then you bury the meat of it. So that's what we're going to focus on. Katani habosu yetsu lebeis hashrefa. So we're saying when it comes to the Oshem Toleri that the meat of the korban has to be burnt. Which means, therefore, in effect, we're saying this korban is chulin shenishchatu ba'azara because he didn't have to bring the Oshem Toleri. Therefore, we treat it like a chulin animal that was shechted in the azara, and apparently we're saying you have to burn it. Urimini, but we have a contradiction because the next part of the mission says Oshem Vadai Enukain. It's not like that with an Oshem Vadai. Im actually nishchat, if he finds out before the korban was shechted that he didn't have to bring it, yetsu v'yira be'eder, then it can go. It could be Adam's. I mean, it could just be whatever. It could be that whatever it is. Yeah. He thought. Let's say. What do you have? Oshem Vadai. Let's say is Asham Shifcha Harufa. Let's say. So he thought she was a Shifcha Harufa, and it turns out she wasn't. Let's say whatever. Oshem Vadai and he came. Imadshle Nishchat. If he finds out before it was shechted that he didn't have to bring it, Yetsu v'yira be'eder. Then it goes and grazes with the rest of the animals in the flock. It's completely chulin. Misha Nishchat areizi yikover. But we said if he finds out only after the korban was shechted, then it has to be buried. So why not burnt? So why is it with the Oshem Toleri we're saying burnt, and with the Oshem Vadai we're saying buried? Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says you're right. Tavra. It's a contradiction. Misha Shonaz. One explanation is that the word Tavra means a contradiction. There are some of the Rishonim actually who say on the basis of other Gemaras that maybe the word Tavra can also be a Lashon of an oath. Like I swear that Misha Shonazu, Lo Shonazu. Whoever taught this part of the Mishnah is not the one who taught the other part. At the end of Masechta Tmura, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What happens with chulin shenishchatu ba'azara? Do you bury them or do you burn them? So Rabbi Elazar is saying, okay, the different parts of our Mishnah reflect two different opinions. However, Rabbah says that. The Hagoyes Habach and Shittim Kabetis change it to Rabba Omer. Because Omar Rabba would mean he's making a new statement, not disagreeing with anything before. Rabba Omar is what you say when he's disagreeing. Anyway, he says, Oshem Vadai al Oshem Toleri Koromis. Are you trying to claim that there's a contradiction between the case of Oshem Vadai and Oshem Toleri? One has nothing to do with the other. Oshem Vadai kiven d'leit tzarech le'i machdish le'i. And Oshem Vadai, turns out he didn't need it. Therefore, we can say that he never meant to be machdish it in the first place. It's hektish betos. It retroactively turns out that he wasn't machdish it. Therefore, it can be considered chulin ba'azara. And chulin ba'azara are buried. Oshem Toleri, on the other hand, with an Oshem Toleri, Meterich Shaliba Neukvai, since, as we said, the whole point of an Oshem Toleri is that the person's conscience is bothering him. An Oshem Vadai is he no one second. An Oshem Vadai could actually be the case, for example, with Edim. So let's say, yeah, to take your example of Edim Zomim. So it could be Edim Zomim, could be Edim Mokoshim, whatever. He himself knows he didn't do it. Therefore, he doesn't have any particular pangs of conscience. I'm only bringing the Oshem because the Edim said that I did it, and therefore I guess I have to bring it. But if it turns out, if after all it turns out the Edim were false Edim, then he never meant to be machdish it in the first place. As opposed to Oshem Toleri, to begin with, he has his conscience is bothering him. Maybe I did the Avera, maybe not. Therefore, goyim or makdisha. Therefore, you could say that he thoroughly means to be makdisha. In fact,
his
conscience bothers him, so therefore he has in mind to be makdisha as a definite thing. So even though he finds out later, after it was shechted, that he didn't actually do the Avera, nevertheless, we can't say that he would never have been makdisha had he known. We can still say he would have been makdisha. So it's not chulin bazara. It's a fossil of carbon, that's all. A fossil of carbon gets burnt. So that would be a way to reconcile the two of them, says Rabbi. Ela Ikasha, and Shitta Mekubeset adds a line over here that even Rav Meir, who argues in the Mishnah about what you do, he finds out before Shchita, he'll still agree that if it was after Shchita, you still have the liber nekva issue. You still have that his conscience is bothered. For an Ashram Talmud. Yeah.
Even after.
Right. So Ela Ikasha, Oshem Vade al Oshem Vade Kasha. Rather, says Rabbah, you can if you want to have a question in the Mishnah, have a question within what it says about the Oshem Vade itself. The Katani Harezi cover first was saying that if he finds out after it was shechted that he didn't do the Avera, then we said you bury it. Ema Sefer, but then look at the next case of the Mishnah where it says that Nizrek Hadam, we said once the blood was sprinkled, then the meat has to be burnt. Right. So now why? Why would it be before, after the Shechita, before the Zrika, we would bury it, and after the Zrika, we would be burning it? Obviously, Ha Vadei Tavra, so says Rabbi, it must be, that's definitely a contradiction, Misha Shonazu Lo Shonazu. It must be that part of the Mishnah within the Alshon Vadei reflects the different opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
So the difference between before the Zrika and after the Zrika.
So in other words, one Tana would say that whether it was before or after the Zrika, either way you're burning it. The other Tana would say either way before or after the Zrika, right, you're burying it. So the fact that the Mishnah mentions one, and then the other just means that one part is according to one Tana and the other part is according to the other. Rav Ashi, Omar Rav Ashi says not necessarily. And here, this part in parenthesis, there's different gear size over here, whether to put it in or take it out. So we'll learn it first with, and then, yeah. Reisha de katani v'oshem toleri. That, and so actually, let's first learn without it, because that's the way Rashi is gurus. Rav Ashi omer meshum de mischazi kezevach posel. Rav Ashi is answering only regarding the matter of oshem vadas. He's not dealing with the contradiction between oshem toleri and oshem vadai. He's dealing strictly within oshem vadai that, why is it after Zrika, you burn it instead of burying it? Because Mishum de Mischazi Kazevach Posel. Because at that point, it looks like a posel. It looks like a korban that became posel. We know that in general, if you were to have a korban, leaving aside the matter of an osham, any regular korban that became posel, you would burn it. Once it was shechted. So therefore, once the blood of it was sprinkled, then we say now it looks like regular kodshim. People are not going to realize that here the situation was that he didn't actually do the Avera, and therefore there shouldn't have had to be. Therefore, there shouldn't. So therefore, it's going to look like people are going to mistakenly think. Therefore, that people are now going to mistakenly think that korbanos that became posel are supposed to be buried, and that's not the case. Korbanos that are posel.
How do they know that he didn't do it?
Because at this point, we would see that they're taking the korban and they're burying it. So that's the point. If they were to bury it, people wouldn't realize that's because he actually didn't do the Avera. People would think some other soul happened with it. And in general, any carbon that becomes fossil, then you burn it, then you bury it. And that's what they would conclude. And therefore you don't want that. That's the gear that Rashi has without the part in the parenthesis. Mm-hmm. The part with the parenthesis is Reisha de Katani Ba'oshem Toluri Ba'abosi Yetzel Beis Asrei. But this that it says earlier in the Mishnah by an Oshem Toluri that the meat has to be burnt like Asha. Mishum de Mischazi to Zevach Posel because it looks like a posel of korban, meaning the Tosfos has that gear. In other words, that Rav Ashi wants to answer, that Rav Ashi is coming to answer both of the questions. That we're saying the reason why by an Oshem Toluri, why we would say once the blood is sprinkled, then again, say similar to what Rashi was saying by an Oshem Vade, it looks like a Zevach Posel. We don't want people to get the wrong impression. Therefore, we burn it. But where the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, it doesn't yet look like a Zevach Posel. That's by an Oshem Vade. When it comes to an Oshem Toluri, either way, it's coming for a Suffolk. Therefore, either way, you should be burning it. The fact that to begin with, it comes for a Suffolk makes that even before the blood was sprinkled, it looks more like a posel of korban. And if you were to go and bury it, then people would get the wrong impression. So according to Tosfos, Rav Ashi is making
so
a double. That's a
korban.
Right.
And in fact, the reason why
it's not being brought in the end is because it turns out the Suffolk was no Suffolk, because it turns out he didn't actually do it. But so Tosfos understands that Rav Ashi is coming to answer both questions. Mm-hmm.
it's not a contradiction.
So it's not a contradiction. So that's why we have that sometimes we'll say, sometimes the Mishnah is saying it's burnt, sometimes it's buried. The idea is with an Oshem Tolery, either way, you're going to burn it, because even before the blood was sprinkled, it already looked like a Zevach Pasul, and people are going to get the wrong impression, as opposed to with an Oshem Vaday, then you can draw a distinction between whether the blood was sprinkled or whether it wasn't sprinkled. Okay.
And people will know.
Yeah, right. Okay. The Mishnah says, Nizrak Adam Ba'abad. The halacha is that, well, the halacha is like what it says in the halacha is like what it says in the Mishnah, that what do you call it, that habosu yetzel beis ha-srefa, and habosu you cover, as the case may be. Yeah.
So I
guess we're accepting Rav Ashi's answer, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Fine. Mishnah said, Nizrak Adam habosu yachol, that if the blood of the korban, this is again talking about the case where, this is talking about an oshem toleri, where if after the blood was sprinkled, he finds out he didn't actually do it, then we said that once the blood was sprinkled, the boso yachol, the meat should be eaten by the kohenim, after the zrika, he found out after he brought the korban to begin with because he had chaylev and shuman in front of him and he ate one of them and he's not sure which one. After they did the zrika, they found the piece and it turns out that it was chaylev and therefore what he ate was shuman. So the question is, why would we say the meat is eaten? V'amai, ho'hav yolei yedia. At that point, he knows what he knows. Well, for that matter, it could be the other way around. It could be that they found the piece of shuman. Amai, why would we say it? Ho'hav yolei yedia. At that point, he has a yedia. The whole point was that he brings an oshem toler only if he doesn't know what the situation was. And here he knows what the situation is. And by the way, we said at the beginning of the sugya, that it doesn't matter. When we say noydaloi, it could be either that he finds out he didn't do the Avera, or he finds out that he did do it. So either they find the other piece, and it turns out to be chaylev, which means that he ate shuman, or either way, they find the other piece, and it turns out to be shuman, which means that he ate the chaylev. Right. So in this case, either way, he knows. So why are we saying it's still kosher, and the kohenim eat it? Amar Rava, Amar Krav, Hula Yadav Nisvach. Yeah, but the Pasuk says, he didn't know, and it should be forgiven to him. He didn't know that. But the point is, Rava is saying what the Pasuk is saying, he didn't know, and it is forgiven for him, meaning, at the time of the forgiveness, remember, the sprinkling of the blood is what accomplishes the main kapara. Yes, the kohenim eating it is a further stage in the kapara, but it's not the essence of it. The essence of it is the sprinkling. And at the time of the sprinkling, he didn't know yet. Therefore, it's considered a kosher carbon.
And therefore
the kohenim can eat it. Therefore, the kohenim go ahead and eat it. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Yomatzil Adam B'Kleis Chola, we said, Rabbi Yossi says, even if the blood is in the cup and it hasn't been sprinkled yet, then we still say that we go ahead with it. Then we go ahead and sprinkle it and continue. So the question is, well, Rabbi Yossi, Amai Yizorek, why would you sprinkle the blood? Havila Yediyah B'Shach Slicha. Here, for sure, at the time of the Slicha, at the time you're going to be sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach, he already knows that he did or didn't do the Avera. The Mishnah had said that Rabbi Yossi, Yomatzil Adam B'Kleis Yizorek, V'Abos Yoho. By an Oshem Toler.
Right.
So why would it be? If he knows already before the Zrika, how can you go and sprinkle it now? He already knows. The answer is, Omar Rav, Rabbi Yossi Stavolak Rav Shimon. The reason is because Rabbi Yossi holds like Rav Shimon's opinion, to Omar, which he says in a number of places in Shas, most recently we had in Tmura, Kola Omid Li Zoruk Kizoruk Domi, anything that's supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach is considered as if it was sprinkled already. Therefore, once it's in the Kos, it's already ready to be sprinkled. Rav Shimon would consider that it is already sprinkled. Rav Yossi holds the same thing. Therefore, you already have it. At the time of Slicha, there was no Yediyah yet.
Yeah, but he knows now.
No, that's the question. Amar de'omer Rav Shimon, b'midi de'omer Lizoruk. Fine, how can you say? You can say Rav Shimon is talking about something that's supposed to be sprinkled. Abel Hai in Omer Lizorek, but over here, it's not supposed to be sprinkled because now they know the facts. The answer is Amid Marava. So they said in Eretz Yisrael a different explanation. Kasavar Rav Yossi, Klei Shoris Mekadshin Bayis Apostle, but Chila Likra. It's a different thing. Rav Yossi holds that a Klei Shoris, here where it was collected in a Klei Shoris, it's Mekadish, something that in and of itself is possible to begin with, to be offered, and therefore it gives it the Kedusha of that it could be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, even though at this point you already know what the situation is.
Now, that's the question I had yesterday about this Klei Shoris. I was asking Shmuley, that you take it says that you take it out to the Klei Shoris, I think it was the blood. And I said, but once it's in the Klei Shoris, it's...
So according to Rav Yossi, if you're Adam B'Kos, then you don't. According to the Chachamim, you shop a Adam for that.
It's Kodesh.
Okay.
Not according to the Chachamim.
But according to the Chachamim, of course the Klei Shoris was Mekadosh, but now it turns out that it's not, it can't be sprinkled, because now he has Yediyah, and they don't hold like Rav Shimon, Kolo, Omer, Lizorek, Kizorek, Yomi, so it's not considered sprinkled. the carbon became possible. It would be exactly the same kind of thing as if, let's say, the meat of the, as if, let's say, the chaylev of the carbon became tomei, or the blood became tomei, or
anything.
Anything, whatever, any kind of soul.
But,
yeah.
But,
the fact that it was in a kli shor, it doesn't help us. So
it
you still pour it out.
No.
Yeah. So Rabbi Yossi has a special name. Okay.
So what did Mara says here?
Because Rabbi Yossi holds that.
That's Rabbi
Yossi. Okay. Fine. That takes care of Oshem Tolu. Now let's talk about Oshem Vada. We said in the Mishnah, Oshem Vada ain't a Kain Cholu. We said an Oshem Vada is different, and then the Mishnah went on to talk about similar distinctions with the similar distinctions that we have with the Egla Arufa, that similar distinctions that we have with a Shur Niskel and with an Egla Arufa, where you find out the situation before or after the Shur was given Skila, or before or after the Egla Arufa was decapitated. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Egla Arufa. It's Egla Rufa Emesai Ne'eseres. At what point does the Egla Rufa become also Bahano? Rav Hamnuna Omer Mechayim, Rav Hamnuna says, even while it's alive, it becomes also Bahano. Rava Omer L'Acha Rifa. Rava, or Rav Abbas says, Rava says L'Acha Rifa, only after it's decapitated.
How do they choose the Egla Rufa?
They choose, whatever. They have a lock, yeah, they take a particular animal, yeah.
It's
so according to Rav Hamnuna, well, that's what we have to figure out. According to Rav Hamnuna, that it becomes also when it's alive, at what point when it's alive? So b'shleima l'rava, so according to Rava, it's easy to understand. Mi'idna dis avid b'maisa, as soon as a maisa was done, that it was decapitated, it becomes also b'ana. So at that point, in other words, even if at that point they found the reseach, then you would
too
still
late.
Say, yeah, it's too late. The body of that Egla Arufa is buried in its also b'ana. Because as the Mishnah said, the whole point is you bring it for a sopik, so it was machapa for the sopik, and that's that. El Rava. No, it's one of the ones that's buried. Yeah, we learned at the end of tomorrow. El or Rav Hamnuna me'emasai, according to Rav Hamnuna, at what point do you say that it becomes ulcer? Amr Rav Yanai, so Rav Yanai says on that, Gvul Shamaiti Ba, I heard from my Rebbeim a certain limit when, at what point it becomes ulcer, v'shachachti, but I forgot what it was. However, Rav Yanai says, v'nasvin chavraya l'meimah, however, the our colleagues in the Beis Medrash are want to say that the answer is, yuri dosa l'nachal esan, esarja. What makes it also is when they bring it down to the nachal esan, to the valley, according to the Rambam, the stream, whatever, where it's going to be decapitated. Once it's brought there, then that would be when we say, according to Rav Hamnuna, that's also b'hanah.
Not before.
Omer Hamnuna Menamin. Allah said, Hamnuna says, where do I get that from? It's not. So like this, we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Hashoichet Poras Chata. You have a discussion over there in connection with the dinim of Oisiv Benoit. When we say you're not allowed to shech the mother and daughter animal, nor mother and baby animal on the same day, so does that apply where the shechita of one or the other of them is not a shechita ru'uya, is not a shechita that makes it multibana? So the Mishnah says, Hashoichet Poras Chata. So somebody shech the Parah Aduma, the Shura Niskol, or he shech the Shura Niskol, which, as we said, once the Gemar Din was done, it's also Bana. The Egla Arufa, Reb Shimon Poter. Reb Shimon would say that he's Poter then if he shech the other animal, or whichever one of the two was the Poras Chatas or whatever. Reb Shimon would Poter him when he shech the other one because it's not a valid Shita. It doesn't make the animal Mutter to eat. But Chum Machayim, Chum would say it's Mutter. Sorry, I mean, the Chum would say it's Chayiv. The Chum would say he's chayiv because he did do a shita. So, Bishleim al-Didi. So, let's consider like this, Rav Hamnuna says. According to my understanding, it works out very well. Da'amina mechayim, I say that the Egla Arufa becomes also even while it's alive. Well then, b'chol tzvi'u Reb Shimon v'Rabbanan. Well then, the machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan would be like this. They both agree that the Egla Arufa, once it was brought down to the Nachal Esan, becomes also b'hanah. Therefore, if you were to shecht it, it would still be also b'hanah. It's too late. You can't do anything with it. Well, that's what Rav Hamnuna is saying. So if we understand it that way, then what is the machlokes of Reb Shimon Rabbanan? What's the underlying point? Did Reb Shimon saw a shchita she'en ru'uya lo shmo shchita? Reb Shimon is going to hold that a shchita that doesn't make the meat mutter to eat is not considered a valid shchita.
We learned
about that in Cholim. So therefore, he's going to say, so you shechted the Egla Arufa, doesn't help. The Egla Arufa is also to eat and is also b'hanah. Therefore, it's not considered a shchita. Therefore, when you shecht that, Eglo's mother, nothing happens. We consider the Egla Arufa, in effect, you consider the Egla Arufa as if it was Nevela, whatever. The point is that then, later on, when you go and shech the mother of this Egla the same day, nothing happens,
right?
Because you don't have Oisav Esbino, you haven't shechted the first one.
Right.
Rabbanon Amri,
only to shech.
Right. V'rabbanan amish shchita she'en eruya shema shchita. The Chacham meanwhile would hold that it is considered a shchita. As long as you did the action of shchita, then we don't care that there's a side issue, such as the fact that it's an egla arufa, that makes it osur. Therefore, according to them, the shchita of the egla arufa is considered a shchita. And later on, when you shech the mother, then you have a problem. So according to Rav Amnuna's understanding, it works out very well. But if you say like Rabba, that it only becomes also after you decapitate it, well, that's obviously that you're shechting it is before that. Amai potter of Shimon. Then why would Rav Shimon potter if instead of decapitating it, you went and shechted it? Shchita ru'oya. In that case, wouldn't it be a shchita ru'oya? Because according to him, it's still mutter to eat at that point.
Because
it was designated by Robert. Robert doesn't care about the designation. He says, when does it become also b'hanah? Only after you decapitate it. Then there's the body if it is also b'hanah. Well, over here, so if you were to shecht it instead of decapitating, then it should be mutter b'hanah. So what would Rav Shimon and the Chachamim be arguing on? V'chitema, so Rav Amnuna says, you're going to say that maybe sovereign Rav Shimon egla b'shchita k'shera. You're going to say maybe Rav Shimon holds that it's true that you're supposed to decapitate the egla arufa, but b'diyevet, if you were to shecht it instead, it would be valid. Therefore, you could say that the shchita stands in place of the decapitation of the arufa, and therefore it also makes it also b'hanah. Okay. The problem with that is, v'hatznan, we learned in a Mishnah earlier in Chulin, at the end of the first parak, kosher b'para posel b'egla, what's kosher b'para adruma, the equivalent thing is posel by the egla arufa, posel b'egla arufa, kosher b'para posel b'egla arufa, posel b'para kosher b'egla arufa. Namely, like this, para b'shchit, it's one or the other. That same action, if you did it by the para adruma, would make it possible, but if you did it by the egla arufa, whatever's kosher by the para adruma is possible by the egla arufa, right. And whatever's possible by the para, right. What does that mean? Para b'shchit akshera ba'arifa p'sula. The para adruma, you shecht it, then it's kosher, that's what you're supposed to do, but if you decapitate it, then it's possible. Egla ba'arifa akshera b'shchit p'sula, whereas the egla arufa is the other way around, it has to be decapitated, it can't be shechted. Presumably, Rav Shimon would agree with that. So, therefore, there's no way that you could say that Rav Shimon would say that you could shecht it, and then that will make it also b'hanah. According to Rava's understanding, it should only become also once decapitated. If you shecht it, means that it's before decapitation, obviously. Therefore, it should be mutter b'hanah. So, why would Rav Shimon and the Chachamim? Yeah. So, why would the Rav Shimon and the Chachamim be arguing? Ishtik. So, Rava was quiet, and he couldn't find an answer.
He agreed.
Well, he didn't yet agree. He was quiet. He couldn't find an answer to that. Levasa de Nafa, after he left, after Rava left, or maybe after Rav Amnuna left, Omar, he said, he realized what I should have said. My time, Allah Yamina Le, Rav Shimon, Sava Egla B'Shchita K'shera. Why didn't I answer him? Maybe Rav Shimon argues with that. Listen, Rav Shimon, here's the thing. You know what? Why didn't I answer him? That look, Rav Shimon, being a Tana, he's entitled to argue with that. Fine, it's a Stam Mishnah, so what? Rav Shimon is entitled to argue with it. He's a Tana. He could say that maybe not. He could even make a Kabbalchoyma. Madach by the Parah Adumah, where if you decapitated it's possible, how much more so the Egla Arufa, where you're supposed to decapitate it. Maybe Shchita would be kosher as well, because it shouldn't be less than the Parah Adumah.
What's that? Repeat that.
Rav Shimon maybe could disagree with that Mishnah. Rav Shimon could say, maybe even on the basis of a Kavah Chomer, that it would be kosher if you shecht the Parah, the Egla Arufa.
The
Kavah Chomer being, if it's kosher to do that by the Parah Adumah, and on the other hand, it's possible to decapitate the Parah. To shecht the Parah Adumah is the way you're supposed to do it. To decapitate it would make it possible.
It's possible.
But the Egla Arufa, which you're supposed to decapitate, how much more so you should be able to shecht it.
Right.
So then I could answer. Because you could argue that if it's kosher by one, what's kosher by one? Kosher. Okay, because you see, by the Parah Adruma, you can't decapitate it, whereas by the Egla Arufa, you can. Whatever, the point is, Rav Shimon could hold that. What would Rav Amnuna answer to that? If Rava had given that argument, what would Rav Amnuna answer? The answer is, the Tana wouldn't have left out the detail that it should be kosher to do the Egla Arufa with Shchita, not just in that Mishnah in Chulin, but any place else. There's no place where we find that the Egla Arufa is kosher if you shecht it. Some place or other in Soita where it discusses the dinim of the Egla Arufa. It means, in other words, a chiddush like that should be recorded someplace. If the Tana actually meant that it's kosher to shech the Parah Adumah, but not to decapitate it, but on the other hand, with the Egla Arufa, you could do either one, he should have said so. He should have given us some hints to that effect. Yeah, exactly. So therefore, Rav Amnuna says, I can't accept that chiddush. presumably Rav Shimon would agree with the Stam Mishnah that you can't shech the Egel Arufa, and therefore we're back to my question. Okay. The Tamer Rav Shimon. You don't find the Tana wouldn't have forgotten to tell us that the Egel is Kshera, the Tamer Rav Shimon, that you could possibly say it goes according to Rav Shimon. Okay. Omar Rava Menah Minala. So Rava says, okay, well, I'm saying that the Egel Arufa is only also Bahana after you decapitate it. So where do I get that from? Okay, you have Rav Hamnuna's opinion to the contrary. Where am I getting my opinion from? So like this, Minitznan, because we learned in our Mishnah. Egel Arufa Eina Kein, we said that the Egel Arufa is unlike the other cases in the Mishnah, with the Oshem Toler and Oshem Vadeh and so forth. Actually, no. If they find the Reitzeach before it was decapitated, tates of a Tira Be'eder, then the Mishnah says you can go and graze with the other animals in the herd. Now we Amit Mechayim, so Rava says, if you say it becomes ulcer even while it's alive, like Rav Hamnuna says, what do you mean? I might taste of a tear to bed. What do you mean? It should go and pasture with the other animals. It became ulcer already while it's alive. Yeah. The answer is, Tony, actually nearest Ma'arifa. Okay, you can say the Mishnah doesn't mean, actually nearest doesn't mean when it was actually decapitated. It means once it's ready to be decapitated, meaning before it's brought into the Nachal Eisan, it's not ready for that yet. Once they bring it into the Nachal Eisan, at that point, from then on, they could be doing it. So once it comes, so Rav Hamnuna could answer that that's what the Mishnah means. It could be. Actually, could mean the same way. The same way as we said. For example, as Rabbi Yossi had said, let's say that even once the blood is in the cup already, then you can already consider it as if it's sprinkled. Okay, but the fact
that's
is,
not fluid. That's a
okay,
fact.
Fine, but the
here,
fact is, you could still say that. Okay. Yeah, you could still say that actually nerfa means until it's ready to be decapitated. Okay. One second. But okay, what about the Mishnah continues that if they found out after it was decapitated, then you bury it on the spot. Again, that implies that the Isser only begins after it's decapitated. So then, in that case, that contradicts your Hamnuna. It's been okay again. Tony Mishneiras Lari. Instead of saying when it's decapitated, it means once it's ready to be. Once it was brought into the Nachal Eis, and at that point, even if it dies, it was shechted or whatever, then you have to bury it.
Right,
okay.
Answer.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So it's fluid. It's still a valid way of understanding the Mishnah. Okay. Ama Sefer. But then look at the next part of the Mishnah. Why is that? Why, if after Nerfa, or you're saying Rav Hamnuna Mishneiras Lari, so once it's ready to be decapitated, then you have to bury it. Why? The Mishnah says, Shala Sofik Bar Mitchila, because the whole point was the Egla Arufa to begin with was only brought because you have a Sofik. Therefore, Kipra Sfeik of a Hohala. Therefore, it was Mechaper for the Sofik, and therefore that's it. It's gone. And therefore, in other words, the fact that later on you find out the fact doesn't change anything.
This what that he was cupping?
That there was you found the Ritzea.
Right.
Because it already accomplished the kapara for the suffix. The imechayim. Now, if you're telling me we're talking about when the animal's alive, I dying like kippur sveikasa.
Right.
What do you mean it was mechaper? It wasn't yet mechaper until the actual. Even Rav Hamnuna is saying it's also b'hanah from when you bring it to the Nachal Eisan.
No,
even he agrees that you have to decapitate it to actually accomplish the kapara. So then, what does the Mishnah mean then? If one's Rav Hamnuna, the answer is tanoi. Actually, it's machloek as tanoi. D'tanya,
when it
becomes also. Yeah, D'tanya, we learn in a b'raisa. Nemer machshir machaper b'tnim. We have a machshir. We have something that makes a person suitable to eat korbanos, namely an asham mitzvah, which once the asham is brought, then he's able to enter the b'smikdash and to eat korbanos. Umachaper b'tnim. We also have something that's machaper that's brought inside the Bismikdash, namely Chatas and Osham, which is Mechaper for a person's Avera, and Venema Machshir, Mechaper Bachutz, and then you have things that are brought outside the Bismikdash. You also have two different types, a Machshir and a Mechaper. The Machshir is the birds that are brought for the first stage of a Mitzvah Tahara, where the one is shefted at the outside. It's outside, yeah, it's outside whatever city the Mitzvah was in. Yeah. So it's anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. You have the two birds over there, and you have a mechaper that takes place outside the Beis Mikdash, namely the Egla Arufa, and also the Sora Meshtaleh, the Sora that's sent to Azazel. So therefore, therefore there has to be a similarity between them. We're going to make a binyan out. Ma machshir mechaper b'fnim, just like the two types of korban, the machshir and the mechaper that takes place inside the Beis Mikdash, also by machshir to mechaper. We're saying that the machshir is like the mechaper. that we're saying, in other words, that the Asham Metzora is like any other kind of Chatas and Asham. It has basically the Machshir is the Asher is the Asham of the Metzora, which is not specifically being Mechaper on any Avera. I mean, we learned in Erchen that Tzaraas comes for various Averas, but the Asham's purpose fundamentally is not so much to be Mechaper for him, it's meant to be Machshir him to eat Kodshim and enter the Bais Mikdash. And the Torah is telling us that it's like the Mechaper, it's like other kinds of Asham that are actually meant for a specific Avera, Gzela, Me'ila, etc. Therefore, ah, machshir, machaper, the same thing when it comes to the comparison of the machshir and the machaper, the ha'omer b'chut that take place outside the Bais Mikdash, also machshir to machaper, we have to say that the machshir, which is the birds in the Metzora, are also b'hano, while they're alive, like the machaper, like the Sura, Meshaleach, and the Egla Arufa. So we see that the Tana of this Braisa obviously holds that the Egla Arufa, being a Mechaper that takes place Bachut, is also Bahana. And he's saying, we learn from that, that the birds that are brought from the Metzora are also Bahana.
And he learns it.
So he's learning. He's saying Machshir is to Mechaper. In other words, he's saying, we're going to take, it's a fact that the Mechaper, which includes the Egla Arufa, is also Bahana, even while it's alive, and we're going to deduce from that the Mechaper, namely the birds in the Metzora, are also Bahana while they're alive.
He says that's also why it's alive, from what?
No, he's saying as a fact, he's saying also Machshir to Mechaper. The Tana here is taking it as a given that the Mechaper is also Bahana while it's alive.
So where does he take it from?
Where he doesn't have to take it. This is how he holds. He can, it can be based on Rav Hamnuna's Svara, it could be based on some other, whatever it is, he holds that, so you're asking from our Mishnah that it seems to contradict Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna will answer that he's following the Braisa.
He's following the Braisa.
Okay. So okay, the Mishnah contradicts him.
Okay.
Big deal. He has a Braisa on his side, and therefore that's good enough. So the Braisa is
the equivalent of the Mishnah.
It's not the equivalent, but the fact that we have a Braisa against the Mishnah means that Rav Hamnuna is not completely slogged up by the Mishnah.
Yeah, but I mean, we had cases before, and we always said a Mishnah goes...
A Mishnah is stronger than a Braisa.
Other
things being equal, that's true. But nevertheless, the fact that he has a Braisa on his side allows him to say, therefore, that the fact that the Mishnah, the fact that the plain wording of the Mishnah contradicts him is okay, because he has a Braisa on his side.
Okay, cool.
And in fact, the halacha is like Rav Hamnuna. You read also the Nachal Eis and Eis Arta. Yeah.
The Arifa starts when it goes.
So the Isser Hanah starts once it's brought down to the Nachalis. Yeah. Although with that said, actually, the Rambam interestingly paskins on the one hand, like Rav Hamnuna, that when you bring it down to the Nachalis and Anasas it, on the other hand, he paskins like the simple wording of our Mishnah that if they find that it's Seach before it's decapitated, after they brought it to the Nachalis and before they decapitated, then it can go and pasture with the other animals. So the Rashba asks, and the Rambam it doesn't sin consistent.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different answers. One of them being that the Rambam is following the Yerushalmi in this. The Yerushalmi, and so the Rambam can say, if the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are arguing, and the Bavli is giving a more straightforward answer, no, usually we'd say the Bavli prevails, but when in particular, in this case, the Yerushalmi is giving a more straightforward answer, which also fits better with the wording of our Mishnah, then we can say that we follow it.
Is it a general cloud? The Yerushalmi prevails over the Bavli?
No, it's not a general cloud, but in this case, the Rambam held that the Yerushalmi is giving a more straightforward answer than the Bavli. According to the Bavli, it comes out that Rav Hamnuna's statement is contradicted by our Mishnah, and the only thing that saves him is he has a braisa on his side. According to the Yerushalmi, it all works together, and therefore then there's no contradiction, and we can take Mishnah at face value. Okay, that's one answer. There are others. All right.
So that's
one reason why he passed them that way. Okay, fine. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yezer Oymer, Misnadav Adam Osham Toli B'chol Yoyim B'chol Eis Shiyuta. A person can donate an Osham Toli every day and whenever he wants, even if he hasn't done any particular Avera that would make him, that he thinks would make him. Because a person can bring it in case he did an Avera. That kind of korban is called the osham that the chassidim bring, because they're extra careful about mitzvahs. Omru all of our bava ben buta, so they said about bava ben buta, Shoyim Misnadav, he was one of the Talmidim of Shammai. He was one of the Talmidim of Shammai at the end of the second Mishnah. Shoyim Misnadav, osham toli b'chol yom, he would donate an osham toli every day, chutz me'achal yom kippurim yom echad, with the exception of the one day following Yom Kippur. And Omar, and he says, actually, Hamoin Azeh, I guess so, Omar, he said, Hamoin Azeh, I swear by this Beis HaMikdash, or by Hashem, who rests in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever. Hamoin, Hamoin means a dwelling place. Yes. Ilu hoyu manichin li, if the Chachamim would allow me, hayisi mevi, I would actually bring one even on the day after Yom Kippur. Ela oimrim li, but the Chachamim told me, I can't. Hamtin ad shetikonis, the Beis HaSafek. Wait at least until there's a reasonable amount of time for a Safek. Like this, Yom Kippur is machaper for Avedis. So therefore, on the day after Yom Kippur, you can't really be concerned that you did anything yet that would make you chayv and Hashem Tolli. The rest of the year, fine, you want to then go ahead. This is all, no, so he did that. So both from then on, Bava and Bota brought, so he did that. He brought every day except the day after Yom Kippur. Right. Every weekday, that is, obviously, you can't bring the Dorim and the Dabas on Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Right. Well, yeah.
What do you mean? No, we're talking, no, you don't bring Dorim and Dabas on Shabbos and Yom Tov, period. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays.
No, but in those times,
there's no those times.
Yom Kippur could fall on the...
Oh, Yom Kippur could fall on Erev Shabbos, but that's neither here nor there. I'm talking about, in other words, that, so he would bring. So Yom Kippur comes out like it does this year on Wednesday, let's say. So fine, he doesn't bring it on Yom Kippur. He doesn't bring it on the next day, which is Thursday. He brings one on Friday, skips Shabbos, because Shabbos is Shabbos. He brings one on Sunday, Erev Yom Tov, doesn't bring on the next day, because Yom Tov, etc. So this is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim and the Chachamim say no. A maybe Ashem Tolei El Al Shes Dorne Kares for Shigat Echatas. No, you only bring an Ashem Tolei, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, only for something that if a person does it, remains it, he's Chayiv Kares, and then B'Shogeg he brings a Chatas. So then, if he's not sure whether he did it, he brings an Ashem Tolei. So you have three opinions in the Mishnah. You have Rabbi Eliezer saying there's no limit. A person can bring an Ashem Tolei even the day after Yom Kippur, and even multiple Ashamas Tolim on the same day. You have the Chachamim who answered Bava ben Bota, who disagree with that and say that, no, you can't bring on the day after Yom Kippur, and the Pashtus, you can only bring one a day. And then the Chachamim say that nothing of the sort, you can only bring it for something that's Zonikos. Okay.
The two said that were coming?
Yes. Yeah.
Who are the ones?
There were the ones before, were the times from Bava, were the ones from Bava ben Bota's times. The second ones are the time, are the ones from Rabbi Eliezer's times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Chayove chatois v'ashamis v'adoin sh'ava aleim yema kippurim. People who are chayev achatas or an asham for a definite situation, he definitely ate chaylev, he definitely did gzela or me'ila or whatever. So even if Yom Kippur passed and he didn't yet bring the korban, chayovim lahavi l'acha yema kippurim, they're obligated to bring the korban after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not mechaper for the aveira to the extent that he should be potter for the korban. No, this is what do you mean? A different opinion. Over all in Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur passed and he hadn't yet brought the korban, that's what I said. On the other hand, somebody is chayiv and osham tolui and didn't bring it before Yom Kippur is potter from bringing it after Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is mechaper for the suffix. So the Mishnah continues. Misha Babiyad, we've learned this earlier in the Masechta, actually. Misha Babiyad is Safek Avera B'Yom Kippur. If a person has a Safek of an Avera on Yom Kippur, for example, he's a Safek whether he ate, which itself is a Chiyuv Kares, a Safek whether he ate was Chaylev, etc. Afilu Im Chashecha, even if a Safek happened right before darkness, right before nightfall, going out of Yom Kippur, Potter, then he's still Potter from the Ashem Tolu. Shekola Yom Mechaper, because the entire day, every moment of Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So even the suffix happened a minute before Yom Kippur is over, but that one remaining minute of Yom Kippur is machaper for him, and then he doesn't bring an Asher Tolu. That's not a machalikus. Everybody is agreeing to that. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer was saying he can bring an Asher Tolu by a neder anyway, but that's another matter. We're talking about. We had a discussion in the Gemara. We had a discussion in the Gemara between Abaya and right. Is it all of Yom Kippur? Is it some of Yom Kippur? Right. Abaya had said, who says that every moment of Yom Kippur is Machapa? Maybe you need the entire 25 hours. Fine, Abaya said, and then we said that Rav Bar Yochanan called him Troda and said that no, you see clearly from our Mishnah that it's not like that. Okay. Yeah. All right. On the other hand, if you have a woman who has a suffix, whether she has to bring a chatas oif, so a suffix, for example, whether what she gave birth to or miscarried makes a chayev, makes a chayev in a korban or not, a suffix, whether she was a zava or not, etc. But overall, even if Yom Kippur passed and she hadn't brought a korban, she does have to bring it after Yom Kippur, because the purpose of her chatas it's not so much to be mechaper for an avera, but rather because it's a machshir, like we said at the end of the Gemara. It makes her suitable again to eat kodshim and to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Yom Kippur doesn't deal with that. Another case, suppose that a person brought a chatas, in the previous mission, we talked about various cases of safek, with Oshim Tolu, Oshim Bada, etc. So now you have a chatas that's brought for a safek. for example, again, a woman who's not sure if she was a zava or not, if she finds out after the bird, after they did malika on the bird, that she was not in fact a zava, or that she was, as the case may be, to cover, then the bird has to be buried, because again, then you have the problem that malika, that is chulin ba'azara, and it's, actually, we had a Tosfos previously that discussed that maybe actually there it would be, if what she found out is that she is actually chayav, maybe you could say that it counts as a chatas vade. Tosfos on Chavdeis and Mabeis that said that maybe actually if she finds out that she is actually chayav in the korban even after the malika, then it's fine, it can still continue as a valid korban. When we say over here im noida, would have to mean that she found out that she's not. So then we bury him. Okay. Yeah.
Because of the Tosfos.
According to Tosfos, it would be only in the one case. If we don't hold like Tosfos, and I don't know what other, okay. Then we would say in both cases, right?
Okay. But it's symbolical to
maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My time is the Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that a person can bring an Asham Toli whenever he wants? What do you mean? If Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Torah requires a person to bring an Oshem Toli when he has a Sopik, then he knows the situation. I read it wrong. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is, why indeed does Rabbi Eliezer hold that? Because he says like this, if you're going to tell me that an Oshem Toli is something that the Torah requires you to bring, then you have to ask when he finds out that he actually did it. Am I maisi chatos? Why should he have to bring a chatos? In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, look, if you're saying that a person has to bring an Oshem Toli when he had two pieces in front of him, one chalev, one shum, and he ate which one, and he's not sure which one. Later on, we're saying if he finds out that he ate the chalev, he's bringing a chatos. What's the logic? That he's bringing two korbanos for the same thing. Obviously, you have to say that the Oshem Toli is an adava. In other words, it's not that the Torah requires him to bring the Oshem Toli in a case of suffix. The Torah says if you're nervous about it, if your conscience is bothering you, then you can bring an Oshem Toli. But in other words, fundamentally, the Oshem Toli is an adava. It's something that a person can bring voluntarily. So the Torah is suggesting, basically, that if you have a case of a suffix, then go ahead and then ease your conscience, bring an Oshem Toli. But it doesn't mean that an Oshem Toli is brought only in that case.
If you have a suffix, you go to the Oshem Toli, and then you know for sure that you did.
Then you bring the chatos, fine. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. It can't be the Torah is requiring you to bring two korbanos for what turns out to be the same thing. So it obviously has to be. The Torah is giving you the option. You want to bring an Oshem Toli, go ahead. Well, that amounts to, therefore, that an Oshem Toli can be brought as an adava.
The other option is to do nothing until you know.
Right.
Right.
The Rabbanan answer to that, no. Oila Shlomim would also be neder nedava. No, the only kinds of korbanos that you can bring voluntarily are an oila and shlomim. Aval chatas v'asham klevaninu. A chatas and an asham we know are obligatory korbanos. Well, asham toli. Including an asham toli. V'asham toli hainu taimed demaisim kamed misyadalei. In that case, say the chachamim, why is the Torah telling you to bring an asham toli before he even finds out what happened? The reason is lahogin olav. The reason is to protect him from yisurim.
So it's still an obligation.
No, it is an obligation, but it's a special kind of obligation. It's a special kind of obligation. It's to protect him from punishment, min hashamayim, until he finds out. That, and the reason why the Torah would obligate it, that Torah chosa, gufan cho Yisrael. Because the Torah has rachmanus on a Jew's body. Hashem doesn't want that a person should have to suffer for nothing, where instead he can bring an Oshem Toli and protect him from that. So Al-Derech, the Aruch HaNer says, Al-Derech, like we know, for example, the Torah asks a person to commit suicide, the Torah asks a person to harm his body, whatever, because body doesn't belong to him, it belongs to Hashem. The same way, the Torah is requiring, say, the Chachamim, where you have the ability to avoid Yisurim by bringing a korban, the Torah is mandating that you bring a korban. It comes out that you bring two korbanos for the same thing. Yes, you bring two korbanos for the same thing, but that's the purpose. Right? Exactly. Right. But Rav Acha Breda Rav Asher Vashi Dilma Oshem Toli Ka'olo Shlomim. Maybe not. Maybe you could argue that an Oshem Toli should be like an Ola and Shlomim. The Chachamim are saying the general rule that Chatois and Ashamais are obligatory, and therefore an Oshem Toli is in that category. But maybe not. Maybe an Oshem Toli can be like an Ola and Shlomim in the sense. Hold on. Ma Ola Shlomim to also be Choyva of also be Nedava. With an Oshem and Shlomim, yes, they can be brought in a Dava, but there are also cases where you're obligated to bring one. For example, a shlomim, a nazir is required to bring a shlomim. An ola, you have a number of cases. You have a nazir, you have a metzora, you have a yeledes, you have a bunch of cases where a person is obligated, but you also have a neder and a davar. So maybe you could argue, Oshem Tolu Nami de Osi B'Choiva. Fine, the Chachamim are saying that an Oshem Tolu is a Choiva if the person actually did something that might bring him Yisur, that could bring him Yisur, and then he brings the Oshem Tolu. But one second, Osi Nami Menendava. But maybe, says Ravacha Be'edirava, you could argue that still it could be like an Ola and Shlomim in the sense that you could also bring it as a voluntary thing.
Even if he doesn't have a subject.
Right.
That's the key,
yeah,
right?
That's the key, right? Omar Lay, so Rav Ashi answers him, the difference is Olo Shlomim Ikur Benedavak. The difference is that the Olo and Shlomim, primarily when the Torah introduces the Olo and the Shlomim, it's that a person brings them in a Benedavak. Yes, you also have, once the Torah has introduced an Olo and a Shlomim in Parshas Vayikra, then it goes on to say there are times when a person is required to bring one or the other of them. Oshem Toli Ikur B'Choyvak, as opposed to the Oshem Toli, the basic thing of it, the Torah mentions, is that it comes b'chayva. So it's not like an ola and a shlomim in that regard. Therefore, the Chachamim are saying, if it's presented as something that is obligatory, then it means it's only obligatory, unlike an ola and a shlomim, where the Torah clearly says that it could be either one or the other. So according to the Chachamim, right, you can only bring it if you're required to. Yeah, you can't get it. Tony Rav Chia Kameh Rava. Rav Chia taught a braisa in front of Rava. This is not the famous Rav Chia from Shas. The famous Rav Chia from Shas, a couple of generations before Rava.
What's his real name?
You have a number of Chachamim in the Gemara, in the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi who are named Chia. So it could have been a Rav Chia bar something else. But actually, Shittim Kovetz changes it to Rav Chanina. Okay. And there's more than one Rav Chanina in Shas also, whatever. Okay. Anyway, he taught a braisa in front of Rava that went like this. Oshem Toloi Ba Alan Avela. An Oshem Tolu can be brought for a suffix, for example, if a person is not sure if he ate Nevela. Now, Nevela is not something that's Chayiv Kodesh. It's not one of the 36 Krisos that we learned about at the beginning of the chapter. It's a lav. It's a lav. So therefore, he's saying that an Oshem Tolu can be brought for a suffix of an Issur lav. Well, one second. Armole, so Rava says, what do you mean? V'hanan tnan v'chachamim omim eni maybe Oshem Tolu el al davar shezonei kores v'shegurasei chattas. The Chum say in our Mishnah that you only bring an Oshem Tolu for something that's zonei kores and shegurasei chattas, which does not include Nevela. And you can't say your braisa is like Rabbi Eliezer. The E Rabbi Eliezer, if you were going to answer that maybe your braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't work. But in Dabanami, I'll see. Rabbi Eliezer said in our Mishnah that an Oshem Tolu can come purely bin a double.
One second. What would be the meaning that the Bryce is not like Rabbi Eliezer?
Well, it's the Bryce.
It's not like
Rabbi Eliezer. That's the point. So who would it be like? Exactly. Yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Chia, or Rabbi Chanina says to him, my time alay masnis, why are you, Rava, not learning Mishnayis and Bryces? Zimnin sagi and tanisa kamei mar. You should know that I taught this Bryce many times. Rashi gives a second explanation that my time alay masnis doesn't mean you haven't learned Mishnahs and Braises, means why didn't you spend more time learning by Rabba? Why would it have been better if you learned more Mishnahs and Braises, or if you learned by Rabba? Because you should know, Zimnin Sagi and Tanitha Kamehmar, many times I taught this Braise in front of our Rebbe, and the Gemara interjects, Manu Rabba, who is this Rebbe, means Rabba. The Gemara is interjecting. Ravina and Rav Ashi are adding an editorial note over here. Rav Chanina or Rav Chia, when he's talking to Rava, could just say, I taught this braisa in front of Meir, and they both understood who he's talking about. But we, when we're learning this hundreds of years later, we don't know who his Rebbe is, so that it means Rava. But Omar Lee, and continuing, Rav Chanina says, and Rava said to me, that what do we do with this braisa? Ha mani Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar. That yes, this braisa does go like Rav Elazar. But not Rabbi Eliezer de Omru Loi, not Rabbi Eliezer's own opinion, but Rabbi Eliezer reporting what the Omru Loi said. It's none. As we have in the Mishnah, it said what the Chachamim answered to Bava ben Bota, who wanted to bring an Oshem Tolu even the day after Yom Kippur. We said, Ela Omrim Lai Hamten Achadikonis Lebeis HaSafik, wait at least with bringing an Oshem Tolu until you get to the point where there could be a possible Safik. So in other words, those Chachamim who were arguing with Bava ben Bota, are telling him there has to the Amruloi, they have, and that's within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, because Rabbi Eliezer is reporting the whole story with Bava and Mutta. So he's saying that those Chachamim held that those Chachamim held there has to be some kind of suffix in order to bring an Ashram Tali. That some kind of suffix could be a suffix of anything, even a suffix of a lot. Rabbi Eliezer himself would hold you don't even need that. Rabbi Eliezer would hold that you can bring even when there's not even a shadow of a suffix. The Amru Loi, Tebavim and Bota, are saying that there has to at least be some kind of suffix. But that suffix doesn't have to be on an Isur Karis. It could be on an Isur Lab. Therefore, it could be on Nevela.
That's what the meaning of Asher Tikkanes
Lebeis. Lebeis HaSuffix. And we wait until
the
you come. Lebeis HaSuffix.
It doesn't have to be a full suffix.
No, it means, in other words, at least the possibility of a suffix.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So therefore, right. So, and that means, in other words, it can come for any kind of Isur, yeah. So including Nevela, for example. Okay. So that's Rav Chanina telling Rava, if you had learned this, if you had learned Braisis more, or if you learned by Rava, by Rava more, you would know this. Omar Rava, my time of the Omar Rava. Okay, so that was answered. Omar Rava, or Omar Rava, my time of the Omar Rava. Okay, why indeed do the Omar Rava, why do the Chachamim in our Mishnah against Bava Ben Buddha, why indeed are they saying that you can bring an Asham Tolui for any kind of suffix, even if it's not Zoni Koris? So like this, Omakro Asher Loisar Sana of Oshin, because the Pasuk says, when does a person, the Pasuk says that if a person does something that he was not supposed to have been done, well, Beshgoger take out, because it's not in that Pasuk, that comes from a different Pasuk, but whatever. The point is, it says that it says by an Oshim Toli that he did something that he shouldn't have done, Oshim, and he was guilty. Meaning, in other words, it doesn't matter what kind of thing it was. As long as it was a loisah sana, as long as it was loisah sana,
doesn't have to be
karis, right? Okay. And Omar Rava, and Rava, or Rava says, my time did a bon on da'amri ein bevi and Oshem Tolu, el al dava, she's only karis, she got the chata. Now let's turn to the second Rabban and our Mishnah, the ones that Rabbi Eliezer is not quoting, the ones that are disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, which is the third opinion in the Mishnah, who said that you only bring an Asham Toli for something that's Zoni Kardas and Shigrasi Chatas. Where do they get that from? The answer is, as we said a few days ago, Yalfi mitzvahs mechatas chelev. They learn that by Gzera Shava on the word mitzvahs in connection with a chatas that's brought for chelev, meaning a regular chatas. As usual, the Gemara calls it chatas chelev, first of all, because chelev is a very common thing to bring a chatas for, and second of all, because the Torah mentions the issue of chelev, and immediately after that starts talking about the dinim of chatas, so we see that there's a connection between them. So we learn about Gzeira Shava on the word mitzvahs. Malahalon shazone karis v'shigate chatas. Chelev is one of those things, a person ate it b'mezid, he's chayv karis, and he did it for shogeg, therefore he's chayv chatas. Afkan, dover shazone karis v'shigate chatas, the same way they say an Asham Toli is limited only to that category of mitzvahs.
What is it? It's
Gzeira Shava.
Classic
Gzeira Shava, yeah.
Who are these Chachamim?
The Chachamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. So they had the Kabbalah, this Zera Shava from their Rebbeim. Rabbi Eliezer did not, and therefore that's their one.
Why do you say it's not the other Chachamim?
Because the other Chachamim held that you could, that's what we just said. You have the Omru Loi, which are the first Chachamim against Bava Ben Bota, and then you have the Chachamim and at the end of the Mishnah against Rabbi Eliezer. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Turn on Hamisha Ashamis Mechaprin. We learn in a braise. So there are five. Now remember, there are six kinds of asham. We say in davening: asham gzeilus, asham meilus, asham shacharufa, asham nozer, asham mitzora, and asham tolu. So there's a difference between them. Chamisha ashamis mechaprim. There are five ashamis that bring kapara. Asham tolu ein mechaper kapara gmora. And asham tolu, though, is a different category. It's not mechaper a complete kapara. So what does that mean? Well, out of the six, or actually, Shita Makabasa takes out the word kapara gmora because the Gemara is going to explain that. So it sounds like the Braitha is just saying the five Ashamas are Mechaper, but an Asham Tolu is not Mechaper. So my Kama, what do you mean? What does an Asham Tolu do? Amar of Yosef, Hachi Kama, right. What the Braitha means is this. Hamisha Ashamas Mechaper and Kapora Gmura. The five Ashamas are Mechaper completely. They accomplish everything that had to be done. Now, not all of them are meant for Kapora per se. I mean, for example, an Asham Nozer and Asham Mitzora are not fundamentally for Kapora. They're a Machshir. They allow... Well, yeah, okay, fine. Okay, but still, it's, you know, the Chakas is more for that. The Asham, as we said on Amar Aleph, is more Machshir. It's to make them suitable, again, to enter the Beis Mikdash or to eat Kodshim. So when we say Kapora Gmura, what we mean is it accomplishes the whole thing. Nothing further is needed after that. As opposed to Asham Toli in Mechaper Kapora Gmona. And Asham Toli is not completely Mechaper, meaning Udaloika Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, the Braitha is telling us not like Rabbi Eliezer, Dharma Asham Toli Ba'al Nevela, who says that an Asham Toli is able to come for a Sopik Nevela, meaning, in other words, now when you think about it, what happens if a person ate Sopik Nevela, if he's bringing an Asham Toli, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he ever finds out he ate Nevela? Is he bringing a Chatos? No, everybody agrees there's no Chatos for Nevela. Everybody agrees. So therefore, it's a complete kapara.
So it contradicts the
That's the point. The Braisa is not like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. That's the point. The Braisa wants to tell us not that he holds not like Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina Amar Hachi Katanu. Ravina says a different answer. What the Braisa means is Chamisha Hashamas Ein Acher Mechaper Kaparosan. It means that the five Hashamas, there's nothing else that can substitute and accomplish the same kapara. In other words, there's nothing else that we say that once he finds out that he has to bring it. In other words, with all the other ones, Xalus, Me'ilus, etc., some of them only apply to Shogig, some of them even Bemezid. So let's say, for example, a person was over, let's say, on Shifa Harufa, which we learned earlier in the Masech, that can be either Bashogig or Bemezid. Suppose he finds out afterwards that he did it, he has to bring the carbon. As we said in the Mishnah, we don't say because Yom Kippur passed, he's potter from the carbon. Eventually, when he finds out that he was over on Shifa Harufa, or Me'ilah, or what have you, and he finds out that he has to bring a carbon, whatever, then he has to bring it. Oshem Tolui Acher Mechaper Kaparasa, as opposed to an Oshem Tolui, there's something else that can substitute and accomplish the same Kapara, namely Yom Kippur. Dilachimis Yada, if he finds out after Yom Kippur that he's supposed to bring it, Loi Maisi, then as we said in the mission, he doesn't have to bring it. Kedisnan, as we said in the mission.
The Shifka Harufa will not... Yom Kippur
will not take it away. He still has to bring the Oshem Tolui the Oshem Shifcha Harufa when he finds out. Yeah. Same thing with Zelus, same thing with Me'ilus,
all of them.
Yeah. That's what we're saying. That's the difference between the other five versus the Oshem Tolui. So Kedetan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Chayav Chatoris Vashamis Vadoyin, Sha'ova Alein Yem HaKippurim. As we said, a person is Chayav, a Chatos, or an Oshem for something Vaday, and Yom Kippur passed, Chayav and Lahabi Acha Yem HaKippurim, then he still has to bring the Korban after Yom Kippur, but Chayav Hashamis Floyin Turin, but if it was an Oshem Talui, then he's Potter. So that's the difference between the other five versus the Oshem Talui.
So why is the other five
you doesn't look after? That's the next piece of Gemara.
Then in brief, what is it?
So let's see. Instead of in brief, let's load in detail. So the Mishnah said, Chayav Chatoris V'Hashamas V'Doyin Chola. We said if somebody is Chayav Chatos or an Osham for something Vaday, then they have to bring it even if Yom Kippur is passed, but an Osham totally not.
Right.
So, Katani, so we're saying, Chayav Chatoris V'Hashamas V'Doyin She'Ovah Alein Yem HaKippurim Chayav and Lahavi Acha Yem HaKippurim Chayav Hashamas Tluin Peturin. Non-immediately, where do we know all that from? Where do we know that distinction? That an Oshem Vaday or Chatas, a person does have to bring even if Yom Kippur is passed, but an Oshem Tolui not, right? So like this, Ki Osir Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Ami, Omer Rav Chanina, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that Rav Ami had said in the name of Rav Chanina, like this, Omer Kro, the Pasuk says in Achrimos, in the section about Yom Kippur, V'chiper ala kodesh mitumis bnei Yisrael. It says that he, the Kohen Gadol, should accomplish kapara for the holy place, for the Beis Hamikdash, mitumis bnei Yisrael, from the tumah of the Jewish people, umipishehem l'chol chatoisam, and from their pshoim for all their chatois. Now remember, the usual definition of chait versus oven versus pesha is chait is by mistake, shogig, basically. Avon is deliberate, and Pesha is rebellious.
Deliberate.
Well, also deliberate, but the difference is, Avon would be, for example, let's say the person does it because it tastes good, or he has a Yetzahara, and he does it. Pesha would be, let's say, he knows perfectly well it's wrong, and he doesn't have a particular Yetzahara for it, and he doesn't, let's say, Lahat.
It's belligerent.
Yeah, let's say. And there's also,
why do we make a difference between prison? Because it's too deliberate.
Because there's a difference whether the person is deliberate. That person can be deliberate where he knows it's wrong, but he's not doing it specifically to get. That's called othering.
For a hate crime.
Yeah, okay. There is also, by the way, it's worth pointing out, Malbim mentions in a lot of places, he says that ovoin also comes from the word crooked, so he explains in a lot of places that ovoin is the kind of aveda that comes from the wrong mentality. The person has the wrong mentality about what mitzvahs are and how Hashem runs the world and so forth.
Chet is more b'shogeg.
Yeah, so a chet is more b'shogeg. An oven comes from a warped, from an oven, according to that, comes more from a warped view of what, not a more warped personality, I say, but a warped view of what's right and what's wrong. And a pesha would be that he knows perfectly well it's wrong and he does it anyway.
Also perversive.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of perversion. Okay, anyway, the point is...
The difference is,
one is that the person has a wrong understanding of how Hashem runs the world. Let's say he thinks maybe Hashem doesn't care what we do or what we don't do or whatever. That would be awful. That would be open. Whereas Kesha, I mean, he knows that Hashem cares about what we do, and I'm going to do it anyway. Anyway, let's focus over here. The pasuk says, "When we pishehem l'kol chatoisam from their pshoyim for all their chatois, meaning chatoim jumya de pshoyim. What kind of things is Yom Kippur mechaper for chatoim that are similar to pshoyim? Ma pshoyim de lav b'nei korban. Now pshoyim are not something that you bring a korban for, because a person doesn't bring a korban for something that he did rebelliously." In general, I mean, a person for the most part, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, for the most part, a person doesn't bring a korban for something that he did deliberately. You have a few exceptions, Shikha Harufa, Xalus, whatever. But then,
so what about the Soita then?
What about the Soita? She's not bringing a korban. The Soita is being brought fundamentally not so much to be mechaper for her, but to check out the situation.
She's trying to bring a korban, or?
She doesn't bring a korban. The husband brings it on her behalf. She holds it, and it's being awkward, but whatever. The fundamental purpose, we learned in yesterday's Gemara, it said that the Sotah's Korban is not so much for the purpose of Kapara, it's more for the purpose. It's all part of the test of the May Sotah to see, is she going to explode, or is she going to be an asset?
Well, that's the waters.
But the Korban is also a section. The Korban is also part of it. Because it has she acted like a behemoth, therefore her Korban is a Michael behemoth, whatever. The point is, that's it. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that, generally speaking, Korbanos are not brought for deliberate, let alone rebellious averus, for pshayim. Therefore, the chatoyim that we're saying that Yom Kippur is mechaper for also have to be similar to the pshayim. Ah, chatoyim de lav b'nei korban. So the chatoyim that Yom Kippur is going to be mechaper for also have to be ones for which a korban is not brought. For example, nevela or other lavim, but ones where you have to bring a korban. Avol chatoyim b'nei korban lo mechaper. But chatoyim that are not like pshayim, where a korban is brought for them, for example, chelev, shabbos, arayas, etc. Lo mechaper than Yom Kippur. It's not mechaper for them. Therefore, the guy has to bring the korban after Yom Kippur. Only pshayim, the law of b'nei korban. So therefore, chatoyim, which are not b'nei korban, also are mechaper by Yom Kippur. Amalei Abaya says, the problem with that is, v'hokiksiv hodin kra v'sor hanas v'snimhu, that pasuk, v'chipra ala kodesh, is in the context of the sor l'ashem, which is being where the blood of it is being offered, is being sprinkled in the kodesh ha-kadoshim and in the hekel.
Right.
Deloy mechaper al averus, the mitzvah yedua, which after all is not mechaper for averus where a person knew to begin with. We learned in the Shavuos, you have the whole discussion over there. What kind of things is the sar, is the sar l'ashem mechaper for? What is the sar meshaleach mechaper for? What is a person's private korban or leviyared being mechaper for? So in particular, you have the case where we have the case over there where he had yediyah b'tchila. He knew that he was tamei to begin with. He didn't have yediyah b'tchila. He didn't know when he entered the mitzvah that he was Tommy. He never found out that he was Tommy when he went into the business. So he can't bring his own korban. So the sura anasubifnim is toila. It suspends his punishment until eventually, if he finds out, then he brings his korban.
That's
the point, though, with that pasuk is talking about where there was no yediyah.
Right.
Avol sura mishtaleach. But when it comes to the Sura Mishaleach, later on in the Avodah, the Mechaper al Averus, the Mitzvah Yidua, that one, after all, is Mechaper, even when the person knew that he did the Avera. The Sura Mishaleach does greater Kapara, and it's able to be Mechaper even for cases where he knew that he did the Avera. And the Mishnah in Shavuot says over there, it's Mechaper even for things that are made, etc. So then, Eimel Al-Hafilah Al-Hatoyim Dimnei Korban, Nino Mechaper. So you could argue, okay, at the point when the Sura Lashem is done, fine, at that point he hasn't been cleaned up yet. At that point, he would still be on the hook for his korban. But once the Sura Meshaleach comes and is sent off and thrown off to Azazel, then at that point, he should be Mechaper on all of the Averus, including the ones that need korban, that need a korban. So he should be part of any korban, Chatas or Asham, after Yom Kippur. Ella,
I'm still on it's on the Averis that he knows.
Yes, so even on the Averis that he knows. So it has a stronger, it has a wider scope of Kapara. So therefore, maybe it should be able to be Mechapu even on the ones where a Korban would have been required. So how do you know, therefore, that after the Sura Meshaleach, he should still have to bring his Chatas or his Asham the next day? Ella, Amar Abaye Mehasa. So Abaye says, no, rather we're going to learn that this that we're saying, that a person is chayav a chatas or an asham, have to bring it after Yom Kippur, we'll learn it rather from the following pasuk, also in that same section, a few pasukim later, when it says about the Sura, just before the Sura Meshaleach is sent off, the pasuk uses a similar expression. V'hisvada olavas kalavonis b'nei Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol should confess to do vidri on the Sura Meshaleach for all the avonis of b'nei Yisrael, Here we have all three expressions, avonus, pishayim, and chatoisam. Again, pishayim v'chol chatoisam, the same expression as earlier. Chatoim dum yedepshoim, the same comparison as before. What kind of chatoim is v'chaf before? The ones that are like pshoim. Ma pshoim v'lav v'nei korban, af chatoim v'lav v'nei korban. So it only covers the chatoim, the shogig averus, that don't have a korban attached. For example, nevela. Aval chatoim dum nei korban yinu, but chatoim that involve a korban. For the chatoim that are not like pshayim and involve a korban, for example, chaylev, loy mechaper, then it's not mechaper.
Chatoim that are not like
pshayim. In other words, they have a korban attached. Then there's a sorry mashalach. It's not mechaper, and the person still needs to bring the korban afterwards. Umiyate krov sorry mashalach, and therefore you could say the Torah is explicitly giving us this miyuf by the sorry mashalach lememra to tell us exactly that. Dal chatoim dimnei korban ninu loy mechaper to tell us just that. Even though the sorry mashalach accomplishes so much kapara, and it's mechapu even for deliberate averus, etc., but nevertheless, ones where there was yudia, etc., but nevertheless, it still doesn't cover ones where there's a carbon. Okay. Amale Rav Dimi, fine, but Rav Dimi says, the whole premise you're saying is that pshoyim in these psukim are talking about ones where there's no carbon, and therefore you're saying the chatoyim have to be like that also, no carbon, but mimai dahani pshoyim lavene carbon, you know. Who says the pshoyim that the pasuk is talking about are the kinds that you don't bring a carbon for? Dilmahani dibene carbon. Yeah, usually it's true, a person doesn't bring an Aveda for a Mazid, but we know there are certain ones that you do. Dilmahani dibene carbon, you know. Maybe the pasuk is comparing with the pshoyim for which a person does bring a carbon, because it's not, as we learned earlier, as we learned in the second parish. There are four cases where a person brings a carbon for a mazid just like a shogig. We said over there, Shukha Harufa is one of them, Zelos is one of them, Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Eidus. Yeah, so you have cases where a person brings for a zodin. So maybe then the pasuk is saying that any kind of pesha, whether the kind that requires a korban like those four, or the kind that don't, like all other pshoyim, is like the chet. So therefore, any chet, whether it requires a korban or whether it's not, the sura nachu b'mim or the sura mashalach take care of, and therefore the person doesn't have to bring his korban. Itmar Nami, in fact, they said also, ki also Robin, Amar Rav Yosi, Amar Shlokish, that yeah, when it says, So we have the same discussion.
Well,
we haven't proved anything yet.
That's what we have to figure out.
So Rav Dimi is asking, how do we know? The Itmar Nami, ki also Robin, so we have the same discussion. Ki also Robin Amar Rav Yosi, Amar, he said, Robin said that Rav Yosi, Amar Shlokish, again, the same positive, Vizvada, all of us, Kalabonis, B'nai Israel, Ves Kopish, Eyam, Lechol, Chatoisam, as we said before, Chatoim, Dumya, Depshoim, we're talking about Chatoim that are similar to Pshoim, in that Map Shoim, Delav, B'nai, Kov, Mechaper, At Chatoim, Delav, B'nai, Kov, Mechaper, so it only covers Pshoim, and Chatoim, so Pshoim, by definition, don't have a carbon, therefore it only covers Chatoim that are like that. One second. Avo chatoim dimnei korban lemechaper. Omer Abaya. So Abaya says, Ano nami mehadein kro amri. I actually tried to learn it from the same pasuk also. That's where we learn that Abaya himself earlier in the story, a few lines earlier, had said that we're trying to learn from his vada olav and Rav Dimi asked the question. So actually Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi had asked on me the question. So in other words, Abaya is talking to Robin now. Abaya is saying, Robin, you came from Eretz Yisrael reporting the same thing which I came up with independently in Bava, that we're learning from the pasuk by the Sarei Mashaleach about Eskol Pishayim Mechol Hatoisa. But the problem is, Rav Dimi asked that there are pshayim that you have a carbon for. So what are we doing with that? But actually, Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi asked on me, my dahai pshayim v'lav v'nei carbon ninu, dil mahanach v'nei carbon ninu, kiz nan abom v'yin al azorim kishkoga. Omalei Robin, so Robin answers him very simple. Roiv pshoyim lav b'nei korban. The fact is, if you consider the number of pshoyim that are out there, and you consider how many of them a person brings a korban for, there's very few. There's only those four that I mentioned in the Mishnah there in the second pair. So if you consider the majority of pshoyim,
okay.
So 1 second. So he's saying that Omalei Sabai says, what kind of an answer is that? Midi roiv kliv. Doesn't say majority. It says that's kol pshoyim. So any pesha. Elo Omalei Sabai mireisha b'klal. Rather, we have to look at the beginning of the pasuk, where it says "Veisvada all of us kolav voinus b'nei Yisrael." It says that he'll confess over the Sarei Mashalech all the avoinus of b'nei Yisrael. V'tanya, and we learn in a brisa. 1 second. V'tanya, and we learn in a brisa. Avoinus elus doinus. The definition of avoinus is averus that a person did deliberately, the mezid,
as opposed to
chet. You have an apostle that mentions that the person's sin is in him. We're talking about where he did it b'mezid. So we see that oven means b'mezid. So then we have to ask, so then why would it have to continue as kopish eyam machochatoisam? Just say that it's machaper on all the avoinus, and obviously therefore it means why in particular, why does it have to mention
chatoisam?
So in particular, why would it have to mention chatoisam? Once it says avoinus and shoyim, then of course it's machaper on chatois as well. It must be like shoyil of shoyim. It must be. Now, the reason why chatos is there is to make a hekesh specifically with pshoyim. Ma pshoyim delavne korban. That pshoyim don't have a korban. Af chatoyim delavne korban. Av chatoyim delavne korban ninolay mechaper. In other words, the point is that if it was just meant to tell us that we're talking about averus for which that person does b'mezid and he brings a korban, then it didn't have to mention pshayim. It could say avoinos. And chatosam, which anything that involves a chatos, usually inadvertent avedus, require a korban. So therefore, we have the word pishayim as extra in the posik. And once we have the word pishayim as extra, then we can say that the posik is making up a hekish and saying that we're only talking about just the opposite. We're talking about the kind of chatos that are like pshayim in not having a korban.
The fact that we have chatosam and pishayim and
avonus. Once it says avonus, we didn't have to say pishayim as well.
Because avonus is stronger than
not so much because it's stronger than pishayim, but avonus means deliberate avonus. Pishayim, okay, pishayim is also deliberate, although it's a stronger kind of deliberate. Fine, but the
stronger
point.
Stronger than avonus.
Yeah, because we said avonus is where the person, let's say, has a bad misunderstanding of how Hashem runs the world. The problem is showing this rebelliousness. Fine, but the fact remains in terms of what we're trying, in terms of what it's mechaper on for what a person shouldn't have to bring a korban. There's no difference in that regard between avonus and pshayim. The four things that a person brings a korban on for mezid doesn't matter whether it was the result of avon or pesha. So therefore, the pasuk could have just written avonus and could have written chatoim, and that would have been that. The fact that it also mentions pishayim means that the Torah wants to stress that we're talking about within chatoim, we're only talking about the ones that are similar to most pshayim, not just avonus, which would be a general category that includes those four, but within that, specifically the ones that don't involve korbanos. And therefore, the chatois have to be similar to that, so only when there's no korban, but if there is a korban, then yes, you have to bring it after Yom Kippur.
Said in another way, if we had just mentioned avonos
and chatois, then we would say it applies to all chatois, whether there's a korban or not,
right?
Because we would say we're comparing it to avonos, some of which have most of which don't have a korban, but a few of which do. But by having pshayim in there, then we have that we're talking about most pshayim. Yeah.